This is Missing the Mouse. I'm Jeremy Pettigrew.
And I'm Brad Burleson.
And this week, we continue the saga of what else is leaving Disney World.
You know, you'd think we planned this out this way, but we didn't. We thought we were done talking about what was leaving.
But yet, Epcot is losing at least four other, albeit different than a whole pavilion, but four other smaller entertainment type deals.
Yes, basically they're continuing to just salt the ground in the World Showcase.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's probably a bit of an overstatement, but still. So they're getting rid of Off-Kilter.
Off-Kilter's going, Fife and Drum are going, the World Showcase Players and Moroccan are all done September 27th.
So not only are all of these gone, but guess what? If you really, really want to catch that one last Off-Kilter performance and you're listening to this podcast, you're too late, because we're recording, we're recording on Wednesday this week, but by the time you hear this on Sunday night, Monday morning, they will already be gone.
Yep. Disney's website says that the last performances are the 27th, so I suppose that they'll go through their entire schedule, you know, of the day performing, and then Sunday night, they will be done. Oh, I'm sorry, Saturday night. Saturday, yeah. They will be done. So yeah, you got no chance.
Yes. So we're sorry we're breaking the bad news to you here on Missing the Mouse, but you know, this is weird to me. This is extremely weird. So these are old. I mean, I guess they're old in that they've been around for a while, performances, and I don't really know how much the performances change particularly. But at the same time, what's odd to me, and especially about Off-Kilter, more so than any of the other ones that you've listed, is there's a stage that Off-Kilter performs on. What are they going to put on that stage? I mean, are we just talking about a change of entertainment, or what's going on here?
So they are replacing them. In Canada, there will be a lumberjack show. In Morocco, they're replacing Moroccan with the Berber music and dance troupe. There will be flag wavers in Italy and a Celtic music band in the UK with more TBA, according to Disney. So they are replacing these. My biggest question about getting rid of these bands is why? You know, getting rid of Maelstrom and replacing it with a Frozen attraction, that at least had a good why. Whether or not we feel like it's valid or not, that is a good why. But I don't see any reason to replace Moroccan with the Berber music and dance troupe, unless Disney has been, you know, I guess receiving complaints about lameness. I don't know. I don't know why. Like, what people would complain about?
Yeah, I guess I'm confused as well, because, you know, part of me says they've been around for quite a while, but I don't see myself suddenly going, oh, Disney has a whole new lumberjack show? Well, I am scheduling my next trip to Epcot today.
Right. Yeah.
And Off-Kilter's kind of, especially, again, and I guess that's just because I really like Off-Kilter. They're kind of a fan favorite, I feel like, with, you know, the Disney diehards. And this seems like the sort of thing that, why not cater to the Disney diehards?
Yeah. It just seems like a really weird thing to go, like, the music entertainment in the World Showcase. And what makes me think it wasn't complaints is because there's so many. Like, it's like almost all of them. Almost all of the musical type entertainment in the World Showcase is gone, is going away.
Yeah, basically, we're just going to do a full turnover and refresh everything. I want to say there's some stuff that goes on in China, maybe.
Well, there's acrobats and...
And then there's I think there's a band that plays in Biergarten in Germany. But yeah, a significant portion. So like you said, if you'd heard one group was leaving, yeah, maybe they did something they weren't supposed to.
Right.
I wonder if it's contracts.
It could be, yeah. I didn't think about that, but yeah, if they had... if all these bands came on or near the same time and they're just contractually, you know, coming up for renewal, that would make sense.
And then the bands know that they're fan favorites and maybe are trying to leverage that, and Disney right. says, we'll get rid of you.
Yeah, maybe in 6 years or 10 years they'll bring them back. Bring back Mo Rockin', you know.
That's right, the Mo Rockin' comeback tour.
Yeah,
as they tour through. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. How many countries are in the World Showcase? Because they can call that that many country tour.
I think it's 11.
So there you go, an 11 country tour.
Mm.
I mean, that sounds impressive, doesn't it?
That would be pretty funny if they did that. Off Kilter's coming back for a worldwide tour.
You know, Off Kilter showing up at the Flower and Garden Festival at the Flower Power Concert Series or something. I don't know. But, yeah, okay, so at least we know what they're going to replace that with. But that is not the case with the other thing that we need to discuss.
Yeah, which has less of an ambiguous why. The Backlot tour in Disney's Hollywood Studios also going away on September 27th.
That's right. So the Backlot tour is gone as you listen to this podcast. You know, and it's funny because I spent quite a bit of time after I heard the news about this, because this one was quick.
Yeah, they announced it the 20th and it's gone the 27th.
Yeah, so 7 days later, 7 days after the news breaks, it is gone. And I feel like there weren't really any rumors about this. The Norway thing was rumored for quite a while.
Heavily, heavily rumored.
Yes. But to some extent, I wonder if the reason why it wasn't rumored is the exact same reason that I have struggled to have any sort of outrage about this. And that's the fact that this has been this attraction has been dying a slow death since 03 or 01 even, really. You know, it has been dying a slow death, and this almost seems more like Disney just putting it out of its misery than anything.
Yeah, this one screams of this attraction is lame. Nobody really likes it very much. And perhaps they have plans for the area. And I assume when I was there in 2012, the tram was full. Like, so there were quite a few people on there, and I guess it was worth it to just like run it. I know in 03 when they refurbed it, they took all of the, you know, real people giving the voiceover out and put a computer, you know, just a recorded voiceover in. And so I guess they basically, you know, other than fixing, what was the canyon?
Catastrophe Canyon.
Yeah, other than, you know, repairs on Catastrophe Canyon, the rest of it was really just a dude driving a tram through a bunch of, you know, objects.
Yes, that. You know, as we discussed the last time we talked about Backlot Tour, a bunch of objects that were getting worse and worse for the wear, the more time that they spent outdoors and exposed to the Florida elements.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was sad because, so time for me to make an apology on Missing the Mouse. Apparently, I lied on episode 1, when I said that my first visit to the park was in 2003.
That's original sin, Brad.
That's right. That's right. Right from episode 1, I started out with lies. But as I was doing research on Backlot Tour, I was thinking, man, I really remember this one sequence where you were in the home improvement, you know, the Tool Time set. And there was this guy who was nailing stuff onto a wall, and there was a green screen beside him. And then they showed how, through the magic of television, he was suddenly doing this with Tim the Toolman Taylor. And I started reading and found out that apparently this went by the wayside in 01. And that's when I asked my family, and they said, yeah, you don't remember that we went in 2000. But all of that to say that when I went in 2000, I feel like the Backlot Tour was a totally different thing, because at that point you still had the residential street, which was Bulldoze to get rid of, or Bulldoze to make room for Lights, Motors, Action.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to see, you know, the Golden Girls house, the house from Ernest Saves Christmas. You had this entire soundstage that was built for Home Improvement, which was weird when you found out that it was actually filmed in California.
Yeah.
And yet they had an exact duplicate soundstage in Florida.
Because Tim Allen owns the real one and it's in his garage.
Oh, I add that to the things that I did not know.
A little fun fact.
Well, I thought there was an earthquake in California or something, because I thought there was actual discussion of moving production to Florida at one point.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
But anyway, all of that to say that there was a lot more stuff involved. And, you know, but again, when we talk about 2000, that also explains why I remember so much about the cartoon tour over in the studio, you know, being able to see them working on Emperor's New Groove and stuff. This was back at a time when TV shows and cartoons and all of those things were actually being made to set, you know, here and there at MGM Studio.
Right.
You know, and now at Disney Hollywood Studios, there's really not any active filming going on.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a theme park now.
Right, because, I mean, where Toy Story Mania is, where One Man's Dream is, that was all part of the backlot tour at one time, because those were active sound stages. Where, what is it now? Because it was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, then it was American Idol, and American Idol is shut down, right?
Yes, I don't think it's anything right now.
Okay, where Empty Soundstage is,
yeah.
Is that where they put Oaken's at?
I was going to say, I think they're moving something Frozen in there, since they've extended Frozen Summer Fun past summer.
Well, I think Oaken is moving into part of the... Yeah, Oaken's moving somewhere. Anyway.
Could be, yeah.
All of that to say that all of these sections were at one time part of the entire backlot tour, which in its heyday was a 2-hour event.
Wow.
It was actually the tram tour and then an entire walking tour, you know, where you got to see all this stuff going on. But the park doesn't lend itself to that anymore. And so... they, you know, and you had something that was taking up a huge chunk of land for things that weren't happening anymore. And so bit by bit, it's been chopped down to where essentially now it's look at a couple of things, go through Catastrophe Canyon, exit through the gift shop. And now it's not even that, because now it is closed.
Yeah. So it in 2003, I guess it devolved into the Pearl Harbor. You know, stage one was the Pearl Harbor experience. Walk into the prop shop where you would walk, you know, basically
where the dinosaur's refrigerator was.
Yes. And other things with little tags that told you what they were. But you were really kind of hurt or like, you know, hurried through there. It's like, okay, here's some stuff. Walk fast because the tram is leaving, you know, and it's.
Okay, but see, that's the difference. That's part of the difference, because when you went, you were hurried through there. But I remember when the lines were long enough that's the whole reason that was there, was because they needed a queue to queue up for the tram. Because
that whole room is switchbacks.
Right. And
you walk in, you know, do a 180, walk the other way, do a 180. And it's all, you know, it's 3 or 4 switchbacks.
Yeah.
To queue up for the tram.
And now they're just trying to rush you through it because they're trying to make sure they're driving a full tram every time, which is totally understandable. But
right.
Yeah, so that's just another, you know, that's another thing that tells us that while they were still running full trams, it wasn't running anywhere near the capacity that it used to run.
Sure,
it was nothing like the attraction that it used to be. And like I said, I want to have outrage that one of the original attractions of Disney's Hollywood Studios is gone, but I feel like it hasn't been there in a long time.
Yeah, that was the thought that I finally came to, was I don't feel like there was anything there to miss anymore.
Yeah, because essentially the epitome of the tour is Catastrophe Canyon, which at the end of the day is, you know, a cheap knockoff of what Universal Studios has. I mean, let's all be honest. Let's all put our cards on the table. It's a cheap knockoff of an attraction at Universal Studios. So,
and it was when it was made, to be honest.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That, and it was made to be to compete with what Universal Studios had. And did so in such a way that just doesn't seem to be as impressive as what Universal Studios has. And I will admit that I'm saying that from watching video of it, because I've never actually been to that park. So, but the weird part to me is we have no clue what's going to happen with that area.
I have a hypothesis.
Okay, so what's your hypothesis? Go ahead. And I've read quite a few hypotheses, but I want to hear what yours would be.
Yeah, and I have not read any, so mine may line up with something you've read, but I think they're going to wall that whole area off, demolish the studio backlot tour. When they get done demolishing the studio backlot tour, they're going to close Lights, Motors, Action, demolish that, and build Star Wars.
So you're thinking that's going to be Star Wars land?
I do, yeah. I think there's a way that they could do something where they wall that part of the park off and create some sort of conduit near Star Tours and kind of use Star Tours as the entrance to a Star Wars land, if you will. And just have a, like, kind of like Lights, Motors, Action is walled off, where you have to walk a pretty long way to get to the back of the auditorium where the bleachers are and stuff.
Right.
I think they'll just have that whole back area walled off and make, you know, Tatooine or Mos Eisley or, you know, something, and just have a whole bunch of Star Wars stuff back there.
Yeah, which, as a matter of fact, does line up directly with one of the hypotheses that is going around right now.
I have read one that said they're going to do a Toy Story Playland a la Tokyo, I think.
A la Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
I think Paris has it. And I don't remember if they're building one for Shanghai or not. But yeah, so basically there are three hypotheses that I've seen going around. And the first of those is, as you suggested, Star Wars land, though I've even seen people suggesting that they're going to take it a level further with not just removing Lights, Motors, Action, but also possibly, you know, again, this is blue sky. This is not anybody who has any insight into or inside knowledge into what Disney is doing. But even suggesting, you know, they could actually remove Muppet Vision 3D. And then once you get rid of that attraction, you've got a clear shot to Star Tours and turning basically almost half the park into Star Wars.
Which, would anyone really miss Muppet Vision?
I would miss Muppet Vision. There's a part of me that would miss Muppet Vision because it's, to me, you know, it's something that I've done just about every time I've been there. But other than that, no, I really wouldn't. I don't know that I would miss Muppet Vision all that much. I was excited because there was a time when they were talking about an update to that, and that would be cool, I think. But yeah, you know, again, I think we discussed this when we did our park overview. You know, when you get to the end of the video, you still see people that are clearly 80s, you know, late 80s clothes and everything to tell you when this video was actually made. So anyway, so there's that suggestion, which I like.
I think that would be cool.
It's a lot of Star Wars to turn half your park into Star Wars if people don't like Star Wars. But at the same time, it frees up a whole lot of space for that. And actually, I'm just going to go ahead and throw a plug here. Parkology, or Parkeology, Parkeology, is where I did read about these different hypotheses. So I'm not plagiarizing. I'm just repeating what I heard and giving my input.
The link will be in the show notes.
That's right. Link in the show notes to the article. But, you know, so that was one suggestion, which I started wondering, okay, so that's a lot of Star Wars, right?
Right.
But what if you do the same idea, but instead of taking essentially half the park and turning it into Star Wars, what if you turn 25% of the park into Star Wars? And what if you turn 25% of the park into Marvel?
Yeah.
So that way, so then it doesn't feel like an, you know, just Star Wars everywhere.
Yeah.
And you can actually leverage yet another property that you now own.
But there's so many. I forget what the trouble is with Marvel, but they, like, you know, Universal has the rights to Spider-Man, I think, and they don't actually have the rights to have those characters. I guess, you know, we're talking far future, probably, you know, at least I would say 5 years.
Easily, if they're going to open something with new e-ticket attractions and everything else.
So, yeah, I guess that kind of licensing stuff wouldn't really matter. I mean, that would be awesome. That new Iron Man kind of Star Tours clone that they showed off for, was that Hong Kong?
I don't remember. But, yeah, I've seen what you're talking about.
That looked pretty sweet, and I think they could really do some cool stuff with Marvel.
Yeah, so, like I said, because, you know, that gives you the opportunity to open it up, and I don't know that I would make it movie specific, because I feel like that's one of the things that, when, as we discussed last time, we discussed the whole Disney's Hollywood Studios thing. It felt dated to us because it was attached to movies, you know, from the 90s or whatever, but you could attach it to the characters, the stories of right. Marvel, the characters, the stories of Star Wars. And then you're really kind of freeing yourself up and opening yourself up to really cool additional opportunities.
Yeah, if you did it to franchises, you know, or characters, like you said, instead of, you know, this is the Iron Man 2 ride or whatever.
Yes, yeah, here is the Iron Man ride that maybe, and honestly, you could save a little bit of money, because here's the Iron Man ride, and we're going to follow the comic book Iron Man, so we don't have to pay for appearance rights from Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
For his little cameo in our show. So, and I like the idea of doing something over there, because the other thing is, it will finally even out the park, you know? We'll finally get away from that real heavy crowd, or that real heavy traffic over right there in that little spot where you've got Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Fantasmic.
The only reasons to go to that park, except for Toy Story.
And Star Tours. Yeah.
You're right.
What
if it's Radiator Springs Racers?
Which is the second.
Oh, man.
That's right. The second hypothesis is Cars Land.
That would be so awesome.
Or essentially what you suggested, which is Pixar Place, but instead of doing Pixar Place, because we'll get into that, into the third hypothesis, but actually doing a more Cars Landy thing and giving e-ticket Pixar attractions. So, as you suggested, Radiator Springs Racers, which I don't know if I like that.
You like that being a California-only thing?
I like it being a California-only thing, first of all. And second of all, I feel like that attraction is just stomping all over Test Track.
Yeah, I see that. Because it is basically Test Track, but with a race at the end.
Well, it's Test Track with an entirely different thing, but the... And I don't know. I mean, I guess you could easily make the argument, well, then every dark ride is whatever dark ride you want to associate it with or whatever. But
sure.
I don't know. I feel like in California, it doesn't step all over Test Track at all. But if you put it right there where you can go visit Radiator Springs Racers one day and then the next day you're doing Test Track, it's going to feel a little too close for comfort, I think.
Yeah, I think it would be... I don't find it to be that big of a deal. I think it would be a way bigger deal if Test Track was in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, so that you were doing both of them on the same day or something.
Can go on this awesome Cars, you know, fast car ride attraction, or you can go on this kind of, you know, like weird Tron like car, you know, attraction, you know, now. But I don't know if it's obvious, but I'm not a huge fan of the Tronification of Test Track, but yeah, I think that would be a bigger issue if they were both in the same park, especially since And I don't think there's any danger in doing both of those at the same day, because I think most people are going to Hollywood Studios all day anyway.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, is any of these parks typically are all-day parks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's, you know, that suggestion too, which the other side of that is maybe not Radiator Springs Racers, maybe another e-ticket level Pixar attraction. You know, apparently there's a Monsters, Inc. coaster that's been rumored for a while. That would be cool. You know, Pixar has other properties to take advantage of here.
Yeah, there's that new Ratatouille, you know, attraction over in France.
Yeah, so we could bring that one over. If you know, bring over, yeah, that's the other thing is, you know, I would rather they brought over something that at least I have to fly over an ocean to go see.
Right.
And therefore, I feel like I'm less likely to go see.
Yeah.
And that's me being picky, but it is what it is. And then, of course, option three is Pixar Place, which is essentially, you know, the Hong Kong Disneyland. Like I said, I think Paris as well, where it's essentially taking, it's what California Adventure was at one point, where they're basically taking pre-built attractions and sticking Disney stickers all over them and then trying to sell them off as a Disney experience. Which again, that is very much taking very liberally from Parkeology's summarization of it, but I don't disagree with that. You know, I come to Disney for an entirely different experience, for that Disney twist on things, for that pixie dust. And that doesn't feel like pixie dust to me. That feels like we wanted to add something quick, so we added a kiddie play area. Yeah. And if you badmouth it, well, don't you want the kids to have somewhere to play?
Yeah. So which of those three do you find to be the most likely?
Okay, so of those three, I think that especially because Frozen stuff is being done now and everything else, it all boils down to timeline. If they look to do it in the near future, I would say that the Pixar kids area becomes the most likely. If they can give it a few years, I don't know. It could kind of go either way, because they do need more room for Pixar stuff. I don't think Pixar is going to start, you know, putting out flops all of a sudden.
Sure.
So there are going to be more opportunities to build attractions around the Pixar world. But at the same time, Disney is going all in to Star Wars now. You know, bringing out all these new films and everything, all the new cartoons and everything else that they've been working on. So why wouldn't you want to, you know, synergize your parks with that stuff as well?
Yeah. I think, you know, and I'm the one who said it, but I think that Star Wars is probably the most likely. And I think adding on to that, demolishing Muppet Vision and just turning that whole half of the park into Star Wars and just like making Star Tours not only the, you know, attraction that it is, but also making it a gateway into, you know, the Star Wars land. And I think they could even, you know, they could even theme that where it's like you walk into Star Tours and you can either, you know, maybe get in the queue for the attraction, or if you take the right hand side, you go, you know, through a tunnel or whatever, and then you're in Mos Eisley or you're in, you know, on Tatooine or something. And so make Star Tours this, like, you know, you can go this way and take the tour and see what's up, or go this way and just go straight in, and kind of use it as a gateway to get in there. But I think it makes a whole lot of sense based on the pedigree of Star Wars and the, you know, the fact that the new movies are coming out, and like the Netflix has the rights to what's the new Star Wars cartoon that they're doing. I don't remember the full name of it, but
The Rebels one or whatever.
Yeah. Star Wars Rebels. And so all of those are happening, and it just seems super likely that Disney would capitalize on that. And that's something that they don't have to wait on, licensing wise. I don't know how long these Marvel licenses go, but I assume that they could basically open a Star Wars land as quickly as they could build it.
Yeah. And essentially that's what they, you know, based on the plans that we've seen for Tomorrowland and Disneyland, that seems to be the, what they're working under, is that they have access to whatever they want in the Star Wars universe. So yeah. I do see your points. I definitely think that that anything involving Marvel is the least likely option. Like I said, it's just Star Wars or Pixar, or maybe Star Wars and Pixar. Basically, at the end of the day, what I come away with is, please let's not just, you know, throw a bunch of stuff in there really, really quick. I would prefer to see the time for something good to be done.
Yeah.
In there.
I would almost prefer it to take 5 or 10 years instead of, you know, like in 3 years, open it up with like one crappy, you know, attraction and a whole lot of cool theming, you know, like come walk around in Tatooine and you can go on this really stupid, you know, like the Mos Eisley backlot tour and, you know, or whatever. And just, I would almost rather it takes 10 years and they go, okay, we've made this world that, you know, could even be its own gate and, you know, maybe its own gate in the future. And I think Imagineering would do that, but just take the time and really make it incredible, because they can do so much with Star Wars, with that canon, with that universe, to make it like walking into the Magic Kingdom and walking, you know, from the sides where the little tunnels are underneath the train and emerging in Town Square. And then when you get to Main Street and you see Cinderella's castle, there's something about that moment that I think that they could do if they could somehow obfuscate your view of all of the Star Wars land until you had fully emerged from like whatever tunnel or turned the corner or whatever. And you could have this thing where it's like, I was just in Florida, you know, I was just in a movie studio and I walked, you know, 1,000 feet and now I'm on another planet. And I think they could really do that. And I mean, Walt Disney has shown us time and time again that they're great. They excel at that kind of stuff. And so I'm like, whatever they do, I hope that they take the time to do it the way that I know that they can and that they have in the past.
I agree completely. So let's all cross our fingers that the creatives get to kind of lead the charge here and not those with the purse strings, right?
Yes. So I think that'll about do it for this week. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook. We are Missing the Mouse. And you can visit our website at www.missingthemouse.co. And have a magical day.